Parshas Bechukosai is launched with an extremely iconic word. Im Bechukosai Telechu, Es Mitzvasai Tishmeru, Vasusem Osam. Now, typically, at least the baseline of Chazal, is to view the word Chok as a reference to an aspect of ritual, religion, obedience, which is irrational, which doesn't accord with basic human instincts and expectations. So much of the Torah speaks to ideas that are instinctual, kibud av va'em, social laws, morality, to a degree festivals commemorating important historical markers. And those are referred to typically as mishpatim, sometimes as mitzvos. Chazal often see the word chok or chukosai as a reference to the irrational, based primarily not on Parshas Bechukosai, but on Parshas Chukas, which contains Paraduma. But of course the word Chok is employed in a very, very broad range of applications, many of them being very, very discrepant with that concept of irrational mitzvah. So for example, Chukos HaPesach. What about a Korban Pesach is irrational? Korban Pesach is foundational, it's seminal, it's the genesis of our nationhood, can be called irrational. So very often Chok also refers to something foundational. Even if it's rational, it's constitutional, it's foundational, it's basic. The Medrash in Parshas Bechukosai highlights a third connotation to the term Chok. And extremely important, as of course it relates not to a specific mitzvah, such as Korban Pesach or such as Paraduma, but keep in mind in Parshas Bechukosai, the entire corpus, the entire range of Torah is referred to as Chukosai. So obviously it can't just be mitzvahs that are irrational because much of the Torah is rational. Lachakok means to engrave, to carve. Now in part, there's some relationship, I'm not a expert etymologist, but there's evidently some relationship between carving and foundational and constitutional, and at least in ancient times, constitutions were carved on tablets, on stone. So when a constitution was formed, it was carved out, and it became seminal, and it became baseline. But at least in the modern imagination, there are two totally separate meanings. One is, as I said before, something which is basic, which is part of the substructure of any legal system, and then there's a separate issue to carve. And you can carve anything. You can carve letters, you can carve letters on a get. The Gemara talks about Maseches Gittin, carving out the tzitz, carving out letters on the get, carving out letters for Shabbos. And this Medrash adopts the carving imagery, that there's something about Torah that's carved. What about Torah is carved? Why is Torah referred to a carving? So I'll talk about two Medrashim. I mean, they really appear in the same Medrash, but they discuss different aspects, but there's a common denominator that they're carving. One is, the Medrash says, Chukim, why are they called Chukim, Mechukosai, Shebahem Chakakti Es HaShamayim V'yasaretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu carved, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, He shaped, He formed. At a literal level, He carved out space, the waters were engulfing all of reality, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated upper waters from lower waters, HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated waters into dry land, Yikavu HaMayim, but not just the waters. And the Medrash lists all the aspects that HaKadosh Baruch Hu carved. He carved the heavens. He carved the planets. Carving not in the sense of a knife and cutting and necessarily separating, but sculpting, shaping, forming, creating, manufacturing, lending shape to something, and carving in the general sense. And Torah is the blueprints and the foundation of the entire universe, of all reality. But Torah is the synopsis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, the condensation or the approximation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, then by definition, everything in this world can be accessed through Torah. It's a truism that every single aspect of human knowledge, if a person studied Torah well enough, they could out-Newton Newton scientifically. They could out-Socrates Socrates philosophically. They could out-Gauss Gauss mathematically. They could out-Jonas Salk, biologically. Everything in Torah, anything that's been discovered in this world, all knowledge, information, science, is the reflection and the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that creation, of course, surrounds us, but it's the cliff notes, if you'd want, the synopsis, the saturation of that will is in the Torah. And some who discourage studying alternate areas of and alternate disciplines, because, and there's no way to argue this point, there's no way to dispute it, because Torah is so central and is such a distillation of all knowledge, so why not? And those who do claim that science should be studied or math should be studied, if they find meaning in those areas, is because we're not adept enough or skilled enough in Talmud Torah to draw out. The Vilna Gaon possibly could have arrived at all these, and probably did, but we're not the Vilna Gaons. So it's a debate, it's a legitimate debate, but the debate begins with the premise that nothing else has to be studied aside from Torah, ideally, in a theoretical world, in a hypothetical. Now we're not in a hypothetical world, how do we proceed? And of course, probably the pasuk that most captures this is Im lo brisi yomam v'layla, pasuk in Yirmiyahu lamed gimel, not for my Torah, which is here referred to as a bris, chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti. The laws, and here there's a play on words, so Torah is a chakika, Torah shapes the world, and the world operates on laws, science, astronomy, physics, chemistry, biology, psychology, the world operates on laws that Hashem shaped. Hashem was chokek chukim. Hashem shaped laws that govern nature and our universe. And that play on words is adopted by the Medrash. Again, the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Im lo brisi yomam v'layla, if not for Torah, chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti. And of course, in Velazhen, this pasuk was taken very literally, that it's not just that Torah is the foundation of this world, but it's the constant sustainer of this world. And if there'd be a minute that Torah wouldn't be studied in Velazhen, then the world would collapse. That's why in Velazhen they handed out shifts. You learn Torah from 2 to 3, and you learn Torah from 4 to 5 in the morning, because they took it on their shoulders to maintain Torah study in a uninterrupted fashion so that the world would not collapse or the world will not become destabilized by the absence of Torah. So that's an interesting application of the concept on its own, but even without the application, this is how the Medrash is referring to. And again, keep in mind the play on words between the beginning of the Medrash, Chakakti es HaShamayim, Hashem carved reality based on the wisdom that's contained in Torah. And when he carved reality, he stabilized reality, or he institutionalized reality with a set of laws that were a product of the chok as a carving, and they became laws that govern nature, science, etc. The second application of carving in Torah is the effect that Torah has upon the Yetzer Hara. Very famous Gemara in Kiddushin, in Pagam Chamenuvel, if you feel a Yetzer Hara, if you feel your passions, your hormones, your lusts, your weaknesses overcoming you, study Torah. How does Torah help against the Yetzer Hara? It can help metaphysically, mystically, it can help experientially by lending more seriousness to your day, it can help by creating a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are many, many layers. You'd think that Torah would be unhelpful, you'd think that studying a Tosfos would be unhelpful, but the Gemara in Kiddushin counsels Torah as the antidote, as the sum to another image, not just the antidote to the Yetzer Hara, but a healing, medicinal effect, similar to bandaging a wound. Different images conjure different ways to view the Yetzer Hara. This Medrash quotes Rabbi Levi, well, slightly different application. If a king has enemies that are attacking, so he appoints a colonel to protect. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to be attacked by the Yetzer Hara, and Torah can protect against it. So again, different forms of imagery as to how Torah protects against the Yetzer Hara, but the common denominator is that it does. So why is Torah called something that's carved? Because at least in this Medrash, the Yetzer Hara is referred to as an evan, as a stone. Now, Chazal have different ways and different metaphors for the Yetzer Hara. A fly, the Gemara in Brachos talks about the Yetzer Hara as a fly. Eish, certain times we feel the fire burning within us, our desires, our needs. But based on a pasuk in Yechezkel, V'hasirosi es leiv ha'evan mipsarchem, I will remove the heavy stone heart from you. And I've spoken about this before. I think I spoke about this Pesach time, where different types of hardening of Pyro's heart. But when the Yetzer Hara is referred to as a stone, it talks about natural inertia, heaviness. Sometimes in Avodas Hashem, we fail not because we're distracted, or we're enchanted with lust, but because we're just inert, we're caught in ruts, we're too heavy, it's hard for us to create movement, whether it's physical movement, whether it's imaginative movement. Sometimes it's because we're insensitive. It's another concept which a stone heart elicits or evokes. We don't feel, stone is unfeeling in the classic medieval classification scheme of the cosmos. There is domeim and chai and tzomeach and mehalech and possibly medaber and Yisrael. So the lowest part of the cosmos is inanimate objects, which is referred to as domeim, and the stones are typically domeim stones and minerals. So if you don't feel, you don't live, you don't grow, then and sometimes if you're insensitive, not just at a moral level to people around you, but insensitive to the consequences of life and the consequences of future, the consequences of activities and behavior, so that can lead a person to chet. But either way, in as much as the Yetzer Hara in Yechezkel is referred to as a stone, and in as much as Torah is meant to help offset the impact of that stone, so the Torah is being carved onto that stone. And the carving nature of Torah and the Chukosai phrase applied to Torah highlights, at least according to this Medrash, the impact of Torah in offsetting the influence of the Yetzer Hara, or certainly the stone-like qualities of the Yetzer Hara. So these are two Midrashim that are lesser known. People read Parshas Bechukosai sometimes and immediately, reflexively leap into that, the irrational part of Torah. It's difficult because Bechukosai, in Parshas Bechukosai, the term Chukah refers to all of Torah. Again, one could say that even rational parts of Torah have irrational elements, or even rational parts of Torah should be performed sometimes irrationally, or at least an aspect of our performance should be irrational to maintain discipline and commitment to Hashem. We're not performing the mitzvah because it enhances our lives, or because we understand it, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated Mitzvah V'Yosa. But certainly this Medrash reroutes the term Chukosai away from irrationality towards carving, either because it carves reality and sculpts the universe, or because it carves out this very stone-like stasis of the Yetzer Hara and its impact on our lives. It creates carving and change and movement, but it creates change in an otherwise change or unchanging stone of life that we're sometimes caught in when we're caught in the Yetzer Hara of stone.